Okay, we're ready. Looks good. Welcome to Course in Miracles.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
You know, while people are still popping on the screen, let's take a few minutes to, and I'll call out your name. And if you just say who you are, where you're from, and if you want to mention, is there anything in particular you've been doing with A Course in Miracles during the quarantine? I want to say a few words about that. Just a few words now, not a whole book. So I'll start with Gwen.
Five words or less.
Yeah, I'll kind of cut you off politely if you're droning on.
Yeah.
To Luann.
I finished the whole book and all the lessons just 2 days ago.
Pretty good.
I thought I saw a halo.
Not quite, Jason.
And Michael, do you know anything about A Course in Miracles?
Yeah, I've been studying, and I'm almost finished with the latest Gary Bernard book. And just actually this week, I had some able to get a feeling of that I was getting guidance from Jay or the whole.
Good.
Yeah, I got in touch, and it was like my first time when I really felt it. There's been other brief times when I felt the presence, but this was like all day, and it was really awesome.
Did you hear that? Wonderful.
Michael came to your meeting one time, Andrew.
He looks familiar.
Yeah, well, I spent the winter in Guatemala, but I came to several meetings last fall.
Great. Great.
I go by Bert is my nickname.
Bert.
Yeah.
It's all clicking now.
Yeah.
Lorraine, have you had a chance with your busy week to work with Course in Miracles? What's going on?
Not as often as I'd like to.
Okay.
I do have a goal to read the lesson of the day, and I have not gotten to that every single day.
Okay. Sure enough. And Jason.
Well, I had a really great experience on Friday, I think it was. I have someone that takes care of a little bit of money, like, you know, a couple $1,000 in the stock market. And I asked him to sell something for me. And in the text, I said, oh, no, sell it for 55 cents. And he didn't do it. And that was in half an hour. That was $550 I lost. And we were going to go to Costco for an hour drive. I said, Holy Spirit, I don't want the anger. Help me with it. And it worked.
Wow. Just by asking.
So powerful. It's like, it's not worth it. My peace. You did something three weeks ago, Andrew. You said, nothing can take your peace away. Well, I hope to get there in one of these lifetimes as well.
Sounds like you're using the tool right there, Jason. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
That's how it works. That's the best $550 you ever spent.
I know. Yeah. And no tax.
Okay, Bridget. Bridget, tell us how you work in Course in Miracles this week.
Every day I'm working a lesson, and then I make my 3x5 cards, and I keep them in my pocket. It's like I go out and work with a horse that is a new one for me, and she's been abused a lot, so she's very nervous and anxious, and it's just so cool to be at peace, because as soon as I lose my peace, she really goes off. So she's like a teacher. We're working the Course in Miracles together, and to see the result is just, it brings a tear to my eye. It's just so awesome. Keep Man, that peace. And
wow.
You know, almost like I don't have to do anything, right? Just be peaceful. Just breathe with her, and it's great.
Wow, what a great tool to add to your life. Your life has changed forever now. If you lost A Course in Miracles, or for some reason you couldn't read, or something suddenly happened, this is the new you. There's nothing can take this progress away from you ever.
Good news.
Congratulations. Okay. So we're going to go to Cecilia. Cecilia!
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Hi. I don't know if you can see me, but it's probably better that you don't.
No, it's better if we did, but we can't see.
No. But yeah, I'm back. I just I've been having a hard time, you know, with distant teaching and all those demands. So, you know, I could use a little guidance right now.
Yes. See, that's just like the asking, the showing up, the just the smallest idea that there is a way that you could be, you could lighten your own burden, you could be happier, you could choose spirit, forgiveness, what have you. That kernel of an idea that for this meeting or the book, or just if you stood in the closet and closed the door for a minute and said, you know, Holy Spirit, show me peace with all of this, that idea is most of the work. Because it's your idea that you can do this. Your idea that you can have peace, that you don't have to follow the ego's worry or what have you. That's the biggest battle. The truth takes care of itself, but your ability to put your ego aside and look for help from spirit, this is the largest accomplishment that anybody needs to make. But you have to make it, of course. There's nothing in the world or the universe or even God that's powerful enough to make that choice for you. So welcome to the meeting. It's really great to see you.
Oh, likewise. It's nice to be here. Okay. Thank you.
And turn your video on if you get some more guts.
Yeah, oh, my hair's wet and all that.
All right.
Fan first.
Well, I don't have any pants on, so.
All right.
Okay, Deborah.
I've been doing a course every day. Sorry, there's a truck. It might be a little noisy. And today my lesson was I am spirit.
Whoa, 97.
And I'm just breathing it in and saying it as often as it pops into my mind. And,
Beautiful. Yeah, you know, lesson 97. Yeah. You're in for a nice ride.
Good.
These next 30 lessons pretty much blow your mind completely. But boy, you know, at 90, if you're comfortable, and I think you are because of your background, with the idea that I am spirit, for me, when I look at that lesson, I get permission to go all the way, even if it's just for an instant. It's permission. It's right there in the book. It's black and white. I've got a copy. You've got a copy. Mark has a copy. Lorraine has a copy. You know what? Maybe this is safe to go all the way.
Bless you for that.
Good. Thank you. Julie.
I mentioned that the fog, like actual on a drive, the fog, I got above the fog and the sky was just beautiful blue. And so that's been sticking with me, that the sky's always blue even if I can't see it. And relating that to the course phrase around lifting the veil. And so, like, I know that joy and love is always there, even if I can't see it. And so just being open to see it, being open to see differently.
Yeah. You know, there's something happens in the mind when you touch this concept that it's always there, even if you're not looking at it, even if you're not choosing peace, you know that you could, and that the peace and the love is waiting for you. This is a very important thing to recognize, even if your heart or your mind is still, you know, an angst. But just to hold that thought in any way, this does what a course would call the proper use of separation. Because if you can, during the worst of the moments, if you can hold in your mind somehow that that's waiting for you, part of you is securely there, and then you'll know you're never alone is what happens, but you're never apart from spirit. Because part of you recognizes you could, if you're willing to just sit down, take a breath and say, Holy Spirit, you know you could do this. Mm-hmm. A healing has occurred forever for all of your existence. You were a child that did not have that tool, and now you do forever. Mm-hmm. So congratulations. Really, really good news. Even if you don't exercise as much as you wish, it doesn't go away. Nice.
Yep.
Okay. Boy, the names are changing order somehow. Mark Bloomberg.
Hi. Well, I've been doing the lessons and I'm really having a tough time finding time to do it. It's a joke. No, but some days are good and some days aren't so great, but I figure that it's all part of it. And that, you know, whatever my issue is that I need to work on is it comes to the surface through that lesson, whatever that lesson is.
You know, something happens when I'm doing the workbook, and I also some days click and I'm like, wow, this is the best lesson in the book.
Right.
And other days it's like, you know, I get it, or I guess, okay, you know, kind of go along with it.
Right.
But I'm not on fire. Like yeah, some other lessons.
Some days it's intellectual. It's like I understand it, but I don't get it.
Yeah. So some days it, some of those little ones, especially in the 200s, kind of feels perfunctory. A lot of them rehash. Mm-hmm. You'll go over a topic that you went over 2-3 times before.
Yeah.
And you know, if I'm in a hurry, I'll think, well, I don't have to really study this one.
Because you know it already.
Because I know it
already. That's when you're in trouble.
But I'll recognize, though. I'll recognize it around usually 6 p.m. for me. I'll say, wait, I got to do the lesson again. And I'll see something in it, or I'll hear something in my mind, or the Holy Spirit will touch me. And I'll get something like, oh, my God, I wish I would have known this at 9 a.m. Mm. The same boring day, simple lesson. You know, and so it makes me invigorated to do the whole book over again.
Yeah.
Well, hang in there. But, yeah, I know it's working good for you. It's good to hear that.
Andrew, Jason has a question.
Jason, what do you got?
Well, what was it, the former young lady who spoke, the proper use of separation, what was the concept? What was her experience?
Oh, proper use of separation is to know that you are not an ego.
Okay, thanks. That's all.
Separate yourself from that idea, the one proper use of separation.
Thank you.
Thanks for asking, because I don't think I finished that sentence.
Yes, you did just now.
We did.
Together.
Okay, so... Michaeleen, did we ask you?
No. Hello.
Hi, Michaeleen.
So I've been working on Chapter 16, The Reward of Teaching.
Oh.
And I've been working with a little willingness because my ego had, I'm acutely, becoming acutely aware of when my ego is acting out in a different way than I ever have before. And I'm starting to really own and take some accountability for that and in a different way. So, so that's what I've been working on this week is the chapter 16 and this last few days, the reward of teaching. I take a paragraph a day and study okay. it. So.
Well, you're in for a ride on chapter 16. You particularly are in for a ride on chapter 16.
It really is quite a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much in that chapter, but I mean, God, of all those things that you're going to be seeing, and for everybody can be aware of the lesson that your ego has, it does have layers and facets that evade you. That this is why A Course in Miracles isn't just one page and one lesson, because you've built the ego with many, many faces. That's one ego. But you've built it with many faces. Some of them show up when you are angry. Other faces, it seems like a whole different voice, shows up when you're afraid or when you feel alone or when you feel threatened, like if you're looking at money or if you're looking at health. And the ego has different opinions on how to get to you.
And it's very, I've had some real surprises in that because It's true. I never thought of the faceted ego, like that it has facets to it, that it's not just like a black and white kind of thing. So
yes. Jason?
One thing I remember reading either in The Course in Miracles, probably in Gary Renard, that the mind is like a, what are those things that we term with glass in it, this, a kaleidoscope?
Kaleidoscope.
It keeps changing. And that kind of references to what you just said, Andrew.
Yeah.
So with just a little bit of a movement from happiness to anger or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. The ego, see, the reason why is because you who are spirit, lesson 97, Deborah, you who are spirit, you are pretending that you're not. And you are in the you who you think you are, the one you see in the mirror, you're in the domain of the ego. It's like if you were to go into this desert. There's really nothing there for me, but I know there is for you. If you had gone to that desert and you had to go, say, 2 miles in, if you had to go 2 miles across this in your bare feet, for example, the desert has no problem. You will have a problem. So you would have to adapt to the desert. So you have now lived all the years that you've lived in your life on Earth. And so you have developed ways to cross the ego, the world, ways to cross this desert. Sometimes you use things like fear, sometimes anger, sometimes money, sometimes, ready for Michaeline, chapter 16, special relationships. How could you cross such a large expanse alone? Shouldn't you find somebody that's better equipped than you? Same with the world. Same with the world. So the ego has many, many faces, has many ways of tripping you up.
I take lift.
One thing that was prevalent is that I never had identified with wanting to abandon a relationship as often as I have this recently. And it really isn't about abandoning the relationship. It's really about abandoning my spirit. literally just...
You're going to be blessed by the next 25 pages. Yeah.
Okay, Andrew. I trust you.
It's because, yeah. Very good.
Hey, Andrew, you said that we're pretending.
Yes.
Or you're pretending we're not our. I forget how you said it.
Yeah, it's correct.
That's not my experience, that I'm pretending. I'm afraid that I'm not. That's my experience.
Yeah, everything's exactly backwards in the world. The experience of an ego is, it depends on which way you look at it. The truth is that you're spirit, but the evidence is that you're not. Because of the body, and the emotions and fears and guilt, things like that.
Yeah.
And so in order for you to experience those things, you would have to somehow deny oneness, wholeness, and that you created the dream itself. And you've done it. Here you are.
I understand what you're saying, but my experience is not that I created the situation. My experience is that it happened to me.
Ah, yes. Very good. Very good.
And there is a sense beneath my ego that there's like a light, something pointing upward.
Good.
That's there. That's there. That's a presence.
Yes. Yes.
And the stuff about that I'm afraid I'm not is always changing, but that light is always the same.
Excellent. Excellent. Good. Your ability to see your real situation will continue to improve as you awaken. Seems like it happened to you. Well, there's a way to describe that it did happen to you, because everything in the level of form happens over time and space, one thing happens to another. This is the world of time and space has cause and effect being separate from each other and each essentially acting on each other. It makes separation feel real. So that you feel that is not a problem at all. As long as that light that you just described gets a little bit of your attention every once in a while, because the light is unaffected.
Right.
Yep. The other thing too, Andrew, is the narrative that I find my ego creates around situations that are really visibly, like, I can tell that they're not true, but that they feel very real.
Yes, yes. And remember last week, I want to make sure that you said it properly, that your ego is feeling those things.
Right.
I want you to take a moment and say that you are not, but your ego is.
That's what I'm identifying now, and that's where I'm doing the little willingness to move.
That's it.
Grow from that.
Excellent, excellent. That's exactly right. That's the meaning and the purpose of that section. So you're right on it. But you can see how important it is, because the ego has a voice in you. But it's a voice that you want to fall on deaf ears, even though it still speaks. You must identify with the spirit and recognize that the spirit is unthreatened, it's invulnerable, it's timeless, and it's essentially along for the ride as this dream plays out, and it will continue to play out. That's why this part, Mark, where you said it seems to happen to you, well, that's because you actually did dream this dream. And so there is an event to occur in time that you're dreaming. So it appears like victimhood. But as you spiritually awaken, you can stand outside of the dream looking at it. If even with that light, right? If even just for an instant, and you'll know that what I'm saying is true.
Yeah, I do. And also, I recognize that, like when you're a kid, you make decisions about things. So you are creating it. Like some kid calls you a name and everybody laughs. And you say to yourself, I'm not going to say that. Well, you've just made a decision about who you're going to be.
Yep. If you made a commitment in mind, and then that will be your life. Yeah. And now we're just using the same power, exact same power, but we're going to use the guidance of spirit and truth to go up into lightness of being, rather than where that kid was in the playground was going toward darkness of being and limit. That's exactly what we're doing. Good. Okay. Oh, Loanne.
I don't know how far behind I am in this, but what always saves me from my ego is, I think, the scientist in me. I was a science major once. Yeah. And whatever the lesson was, or whatever I learned it during reading the book, it was that I don't ever see anything the way everybody else sees it. So if I'm seeing it different than everybody else, then nobody's right. And if nobody's right, then everything is made up.
Yep, it's all opinions.
And so that if everything's made up, then my ego, whatever it's telling me, that's made up too. And I don't have to follow it because it's just made up.
That's right.
Sometimes I get trapped in it, but on the other hand, I don't have to believe any of it.
In your case, you don't have to believe. In fact, you better not believe any of it.
Well, I'm glad I don't, right.
However, your job, because it's happening right in front of you, your job is to get a little quieter and see how can I bring love into this crazy, unreal situation.
Well, that's the other aspect of it. When I'm realizing what's going on, in other words, I'm dreaming.
Yes.
Then what is there anything? But my aim, for instance, is to do the best I can to see love in everything I look at.
How would this dream turn to a loving dream? How would this dream turn to a loving, an inclusive dream rather than a divisive dream? That's what you might take a moment to look at next time.
Well, just now the answer came to me because I'm always asking what I call the creative source or the Holy Spirit for answers. And the answer came to me is if we're all dreaming, then we're all one doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. If we're all one doing it, what's left is love.
When you think of love, there's love.
That's what I'm saying.
Short math. Good. Stephen Sailors.
Yes, sir. So it's interesting. I'm going to sort of counterpoint Luann. I can say that after 30-some-odd years, I have never gotten all the way through the book. And something about last week's conversation, and I know I haven't been around a lot lately, but man, it just was such a deep cut that I got inspired and I've cracked open the book.
Yes.
What's interesting is I didn't really like it. It wasn't a big stretch or effort, but for some reason I've been so far just hanging out with the miracle principles. And it's that same old thing. I'm seeing things that I never saw in it before. You know, it's just like, oh, that's, well, okay, now I get it. You know, so I'm pretty bad about structure. I won't make any promises about my speed, but I am taking it on.
Hey, Stephen.
And I swear, he's just hanging out with half of the miracle principle so far. That night I slept really well.
Wow.
You know, I woke up in a completely different frame of mind. You know, even on that level, was just great to get back in the book.
Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you for that. Very inspiring for anybody else who's wondering about those miracle principles. Yeah. You know, you are miracle-minded. We all who have been in a meeting with you know that you are miracle-minded. You welcome the change in mind. Even though you've got the habits that continue to make frustrating things happen in your life, you will drop them in an instant if you think there's a better way. You are miracle-minded.
Well, thank you for saying that, because some days it does not occur that way.
Well, I know. That's because you don't practice.
Well, I exactly. And that's what I got out of last week's conversation.
Hey, and also, you know, those miracle principles are actually any page in the book has the whole answer on it.
Right.
The key to salvation is written all over those miracle principles and all over the book. And the more you go along, you'll see it redundantly written in so many different ways and places. Here you've discovered a bunch of them right there in the first few pages. So it sounds really good, brother.
I'm just shocked and amazed at the depth with which I see them at this point that I'd not seen them before. And I'm sure later it'll be again a different cut. But just really thank you for and everybody that was on the call last week for what they put in that really had me left inspired.
Glad to hear it's working. Super.
Thank you.
Judy.
Course in Miracles Week. I was super moved by your interaction last Thursday night. So that started the week. And on Tuesday, Donna Runnels and I had just, and we do it every Tuesday, and we just had an extraordinary experience with Chapter 28. And by Wednesday, my new book came. So I'm no longer working with that 30-year-old one in pieces. And so finally, I can take part. I can know where you turn to.
You
never
come out of the past.
What's that?
Come out of the past. The present.
So it's just been a terrific course week.
Oh, it sounds good. Thank you. Well, Donna, how's it working for you? Hold on, you're muted. Hold on there, Donna. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Thank you. Well, yes, we had a wonderful experience reading that chapter. And what I'm working with is I have a health condition that's kind of flared up. So I just watch my ego and my mind go back to all the memories of what happened the other times I had this happen, which a lot of things kind of broke down. So I've been, you know, today again, it's the same thing. One of the lines in the chapter was, I don't even know, I'm taking it out of context, but it says, infinite patience brings immediate effects.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that really stuck with me. And so today's lesson, I'm on 118, let me be still and listen to the truth. That's what I'm working with all the time, to just make enough space that I can be still and break that cycle of thinking about the past.
Yes. Breaking the cycle, especially when you have physical maladies, it seems like you have no choice but to suffer, because the pain, or the pain in the body is one thing, but the pain in the mind of you worrying about the body, this is a whole nother layer of suffering that you'll learn is actually optional, and you must. But now, the difficulty that you're having with your body is the perfect teacher for you. It's just time.
I didn't believe it.
It's time. It's time for you to conquer that. But you get to do it before, you know, before your deathbed, perhaps. So it sounds like you're, it looks like you're not on your deathbed tonight. So you got the chance to work with this thing to free your mind now. Something in your body that's coming back to you, enough for you to free your mind now. All of us must leave the world, not by death, but by understanding. That's a quote from page 50, I think. I think it's page 50. It says, this world is not left by death, comma, but by understanding. Mm-hmm. That's what Course in Miracles gives us in our awakening, our spiritual awakening. It's the understanding that will set us free from this cycle of birth and death. So now, instead of the ego getting a hold of your physical suffering and making life and the days long and difficult, now let the Holy Spirit grab a hold of what your suffering is and let you see through it and actually go back to peace, like I think you have in the past. And you find there's a holy instant waiting for you where the ego would have you suffer.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah,
it's really
helpful. Now's the time. It's good. Okay. All right. Emily. Oh, Judy's got a question? Okay, Judy has a question.
It's actually a comment. I'm wondering if other Zoom people have noticed the crown that Micheline is wearing. Notice behind her head, see the beautiful crown? You can see that? There you go. Oh, it's perfect. Okay, I'm done.
That's a curtain.
I know, but it's so cute. It matches your hair. Anyway, had to say it.
That's funny. Okay, Emily.
Hi, everyone. I am new to Course in Miracles, so I haven't had a lot of, I don't have a lot to say other than I'm learning and I'm willing to learn more about forgiveness, because I really know that I don't have that, or haven't had that clear in my understanding. And I have noticed over the last few weeks that my understanding is significantly different. Mm-hmm. And forgiveness for me, I felt in the past, was divisive. It's like they're separate. Someone I have, you know, or I'm looking for forgiveness for myself. And then that creates like this part of me that's not at one. And so it's really different now. And I'm feeling much more loving, as opposed to that divisive energy around, oh, I need to forgive or be forgiven. So I'm still
making
kind of
traction. That sounds like some real progress. Wow. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Oh, beautiful. Well, keep sharing with us as we go along. That sounds like you're really in the heart of it. Yeah, forgiveness is this, you know, the essential tool of A Course in Miracles. And it's at first it seems like a challenge, but you've already taken a couple of steps to learn that forgiveness isn't what's in the dictionary, where you've got somebody who's actually done something wrong, and you need to not punish them. You need to give them a break. No, that's not forgiveness of A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles, forgiveness is a metaphysical understanding that a thing in this world, anything that could possibly have hurt you, is a dream of hurt. And you just let those go, and suddenly you get the reward of forgiveness by letting go of the idea that you are actually hurt. You, the you that matters, not your pocketbook, not your physical objects, not even your relationships, which is just another object. It's another thing you think you own or possess. Those aren't the things. Those aren't the things that can actually hurt you. And so you can let them go and go back to peace right now. And then again, right now. And then when you're done with that, you can go to peace right now. If you do that all day, you have a great day. Because you use the tool of forgiveness. Good.
And that's being in the present instead of in the past or the story about whatever it is I'm thinking about.
Story. Yeah. The story.
Andrew.
Sounds really good, Emily.
Andrew.
Yep.
She was, what she brought up is reminding me of this lesson 161, where at the end of the lesson, it asks you to close your eyes and imagine a person. It could be anybody, but it helps with somebody that you have some issue with, and you imagine what they look like physically and their mannerisms and how they sound. And then you ask that person for their blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yet when the act of asking a person for their blessing, you let go of animosity.
Very powerful.
What you're doing is you're forgiving yourself and that person in the same moment. Because in order to ask, well, when you ask a person for a blessing, imagine that person giving you the blessing. When they're blessing you, it's a positive act. It's not a hate-filled act. There's no spite in it. And you can't in that moment.
It's not a doormat either.
What?
It's not a weakling move.
Not right.
Not some martyr.
Right. Yeah, just like kind of giving up and saying, well, I'm sorry. No, but if a person, if you ask for a blessing from a person and they mean it and they give you that blessing, you cannot hate them in that moment. Mm. You can't feel anger or animosity. So the thing reverses.
Reverses. Yes. Yes. And it's really quick, too. You don't have to wait for something to happen in the world.
Yeah. But I was surprised how much that works. I mean, that exercise really works. I mean, you can just, it takes a few seconds and you can undo years of grief.
Thanks for that, brother. Yeah, very practical. Brother Kenny. Oh, you're not done yet. There you go.
Oh, okay. So I made a 3x5 card.
Okay.
And then I decided to use my home phone and call me and read it to me so I could hear it. The thing that is getting me is I have a fear that somebody may say something that criticizes me or I shame myself or I don't explain it right. So that part's present.
Yeah.
So it comes and goes.
Yeah. So Kenny.
Yeah.
It turns out that as you awaken, there's only you here. In some crazy loop of thinking, maybe in a meditation, you can visit this idea that there's nobody else to criticize you. There's nobody else to criticize you, the you who you really are. There's lots of people to criticize your ego, and your ego's waiting for it. But what you'll do is you awaken, and I'm sure you're good and ready, is to look at the ego as something that indeed is vulnerable, it's fragile. People can say something and could hurt the ego's feelings or insult it or catch it making a mistake, but not you. The you who's awakening is becoming aware of how everything is connected, therefore supporting each other. Everything supported like all of the individual branches on a tree come to the trunk. Like all those individual branches are supported by the trunk. Everything is supported by the truth of what's going on. That means that any little piece that seems to be separate is still connected to the one dream, to the one mind, and none of that is a mistake. So the part that could be insulted for saying something wrong, for doing something wrong that even you wish you didn't do, this is something to be forgiven. The thought should be looked at, and then it's something for you, nobody else. This is for you to forgive this thought that you did wrong, what have you. You release it, not because it didn't happen, because in your mind it did happen, but you release that it has the power to take anything from you. It's just a mistake. They happen all the time.
Yeah.
It's normal.
It is normal.
So you can forget about it. You can release it. You can release it. No harm. Yeah. But this is a good exercise because everybody's ego will attack them, attack their peace in a slightly different way. It's part of the adventure. So this is a way you're going to catch yours. And you're going to let go of the ideas that you are changed at all by something somebody says about you. Their words. And it's all connected to the one. So you just let it happen. And you shake it off for being nothing that it is. You must witness to your invulnerability. And you awaken one day, maybe today. You will awaken invulnerable.
Invulnerable.
Yeah. It's a crazy thought in a world of everything that gets dissolved and dies, but it's an extremely peaceful thought if you hold it even just for one instant. Because you will, in that moment, you will leave the idea of you being the body that could be insulted and the brain and the expert in whatever you should have done right, you'd wrong. All of that is the same level. And when you hold even for an instant the idea of invulnerability, it sounds crazy now until you've done it. But in that moment, there is a transportation occurs and a spiritual awakening occurs. And, you know, the whole dream just becomes more of a dream than it is. And that's part of what we're going to be reading tonight. Because then the world takes on its proper place in your awareness. Good. Good. Don't be afraid of that. Dig in. Luann.
I just want to thank you, Kenny, because what you said struck home with me, and I really appreciate your asking that question. Thank you. And thank you, Andrew, for your answer.
Wonderful. Whose phone number ends in 5305?
It's mine, Andrew. Steve.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry about that, Andrew.
Sure, no problem. We're just going to so Steve, which Steve?
Stephen Watson, yeah.
Oh. All right, hang on a minute. Yeah. We're going to type that in.
Yeah, is it not showing up my name? Probably not, huh?
We got it now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, we can't see a picture of you, so we'll put your name in there. Very good. So, Stephen Watson, tell us about Course in Miracles this week for you.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, I mean, if by chance this week you managed to have any thoughts about forgiveness, or if you work in the workbook, or did you do any Course in Miracles reading, or what does a Course in Miracles mean to you during this whole crazy quarantine time? Just wondering came up.
Yeah, no, I get it. Well, for me, it's a very trying time because I'm going through a grieving process. So for me, I'm grieving for the world, and I'm also grieving for myself and my family. So I'm still discovering things on a daily basis on what it means for me to be alive.
Yes.
And so that's kind of where I'm at. But for me, I just appreciate the connection with good-hearted people, and that's what it means to me at the moment. But I'm still expanding on that one.
Great. Well, listen, when there is sounds like there's been a death in the family, it doesn't matter whether it's a parent or a child or a pet. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. These is so sobering when deaths occur.
Yeah.
In the hands of the ego, it's an opportunity to invest in darkness and do what I call endarkenment, where things just get darker, you go down the staircase.
Yeah, that's the way it's been, for sure. But it just doesn't get any more real. I lost a child.
Okay.
And it just doesn't get any more real for me than that. So
I understand.
I'm not sure where the ego fits in that one, but I'm open. I'll leave it there. But
Well, I understand. I understand. And listen, and, you know, so now what this meeting 12, 14, 17 years. I don't know how many years I've been doing this just from Santa Cruz alone. And we've had three people lose children. You're number three. And of course, you know, it's very sobering and the meeting goes quiet and all that. But you know what? Now, after all these years, any of these deaths are on the same level and they're horrible. They're, no kidding. Right? It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Privately now, you do have an opportunity here that you will face it eventually, but the sooner the better, and that is that you take this sober presence that you have. Death brings you so freaking present. You don't have to try to meditate. You're in a constant sober meditation of what's real right now.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So invite the Holy Spirit. Take a moment, if you can, in between these horrible thoughts, take a moment and say, Holy Spirit, be with me, and make for me a door of light through which I can walk. Just that little invitation. Because for the next couple of months at least, you know, you will be in a like I say, in this constant meditative state through which you can reach your spirit. It'll be so comforting for you. So I encourage you to do that.
I will. Thank you for that.
Good. Quite welcome. Okay, I think we've gone through the list. Anybody else dying to say something about the Course in Miracles week? Yes, Jason. Hold on, you're not live yet. Now you are.
Well, we just lost a dog where I'm at, and had been the my friend's dog for 7 years. And so I can really appreciate what you're saying about being so in the moment. And on the opposite side of that, of being in the moment, I've been meditating a lot every day. It's so new. It's so wonderful. And it's painful sometimes. But today I was having a business conversation where I saw myself get really excited and really grandiose and really, you know, into the drama going, I couldn't stop. And it's fine because she knows I'm grandiose. But that's just as much as being into the sobering part of death, because I was really aware for it. I was there for it.
Yeah.
So I want to say that there's two sides maybe of that. Or...
Yeah, yeah, good. Yeah,
they're not bad or good either. They're just the way they are.
It's true. It's true. And you recognize over time, they're all the same level. And the sooner you can answer this contrast of life and death with your right mind, instead of with your ego, the more, two things happen. One is your life gets better. Yeah. And there are more deaths coming for all of us on this, all of us here, all 20 of us. There are more deaths coming, and nobody's arguing with that. We're just not thinking about them right now. So we're not in that sober presence. However, for many of us here, and you all know who you are, well, Jesus, all of us here have been through a death by now. And all of us here know that there is a choice for you to either endarken yourself, which means make yourself heavier and darker, and thereby the people you love around you are also brought down just a little bit. Or you can ask for the Holy Spirit to make a little light door for you, a little light platform for you to stand on. It's all that takes. It's not complex. That's it. I've said the words. Any combination of those or anything you can think of in that direction is enough, because you will then be turning on the lightness of beingness in you that Lesson 97 talks about. And then you will lighten first. And then, because your forehead's not as wrinkled, your tears aren't quite as streaming all down your face as much, your lightness of being and your personal expression of love will turn back on a little bit. It's all it takes. That will help you immediately and everybody around you. And for whoever died, you can also be more aware now of their gift and their life. I mean, all sorts of good things happen. I don't need to tell you, but it is a chance, because that sober feeling that you have.
You know, you remind me of the stories that I've heard of Middle East gurus or meditators who are in grievous cancer, but they don't feel it.
Yeah.
They've gotten to a point where you say, where the real true, the ego's been dropped, and they can be present and, hate to use a funny word, but in bliss, and just like accept it. And it's not, the cancer is eating them and they're dying in front of you, but they're not in pain. They're not suffering.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate what you said.
Oh yeah, you're so welcome. But you know, the course is full of these chances to recontextualize the things of the world, good thing and bad. Like, for example, I'm just popped in my head, so I'm going to take us there. So everybody turn to workbook page 300, high 300. I don't know the page number. It is workbook 367. Workbook 367 is one of these super practical tools. It's on page 367 in the workbook. On the bottom of the page, it says 367, and the top of the page, it says Lesson 193. This is just one of these super practical lessons that will help you deal with some of these strange things of the world. And you're wondering, what do I do? What do I do with this situation now that it's in my life? now that it's, you know, either a divorce or a death or a big money loss or a permanent injury, all this stuff is happening to us, and it will happen throughout the rest of your life. Course in Miracles is the perfect tool. Oh my God, I wouldn't want to have anybody face the life on earth without A Course in Miracles and all of its ugliness. Ha! Glad you guys are all here. So check lesson 193, All Things Are Lessons God Would Have Me Learn. Title lesson. Because we're not going to go through this tonight, I'm just going to give you a couple of cheat sheet notes on this lesson. The first one is on the title. You can write in the word forgiveness after the lesson title. There are other levels to look at this lesson, and you will do that as well. But perhaps it's very important. All things are lessons God would have me learn forgiveness. You must learn how to let go of things that aren't true. You must. If you continue to hold things that aren't true in your mind, you will focus and you will create a place for them to exist. And that's what the world is. That's what your body is. That's why separation has a function, so that you can hold on to things that aren't true and know them and love them and care for them and miss them when they die, or go create new ones and take care of them for so many years, or have them take care of you. This is all, it's all a dream. It's wonderful at times and it's hateful at other times. But for all of you people who've successfully gone through a death, how many of those deaths showed you a depth of love that showed up in your life very personally and very powerfully to be felt by the death? The life was seen now that it's put, a frame of death has been put around it. The life was finally seen. So this world is not, the whole world's not an accident. It's a place where love can be highlighted wonderfully, if you're open to it. Or if the ego gets a hold of it, it's a place where you make more disaster, which will just make a bigger, fatter frame on love when you get there. So, it's all about correction. It's all about correction of perception. Anyway, this is a great lesson. It's so practical. It helps you understand. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, as you know, my son passed quite some time ago, and I probably cried every day for about 10 years. And as you're talking, I realized that I wasn't just crying for the loss of him, but I was crying for the loss of me, that me that just had to go. It was like every cell in my body got reconfigured because of that, and I became a free person, a much, much, much more free person because of that. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Zadora. I know it's been a long path for you, and by all means, that your comment is teaching us now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Which reminds me that there's four people who have lost children in our Course in Miracles circle. Yeah. Anyway, this is a super powerful lesson here that can heal your mind, because your mind's going to continue with or without the item that died, the person that died, and with or without your body when it dies. So the sooner you get the right-minded perspective on life and death and on this world, the sooner you get the right-minded perspective, the sooner you can get back to experiencing the love that is actually here. We're going to get to that tonight. Well, we might. We've had such a good time going around the circle. We might have to get to this wonderful sentence I have in mind for us by next week. But nonetheless, this is a great lesson to footnote. It's super practical on what do you do about all of this difficulty of the world, of your life. And it's, anyway. So let's try to do some of tonight's work. Turn to Yeah, I think we're going to get there. Turn to text page 210. Text page 210. Thank you very much, Lorraine. Okay. Reading some of the text chats, catching up with the group here. Okay, good. Okay, so let's start with Lorraine. Would you begin reading for us on text page 210, which is chapter 11, section 7, The Condition of Reality?
Starting with number 1?
Yes, please.
The world as you perceive it cannot have been created by the Father, for the world is not as you see it. God created only the eternal, and everything you see is perishable. Therefore, there must be another world that you do not see. The Bible speaks of a new heaven and a new earth, yet this cannot be literally true, for the eternal are not recreated. To perceive anew is merely to perceive again, implying that before, or in the interval between, you are not perceiving at all. What, then, is the world that awaits your perception when you see it?
Mm-hmm. Nice. And Bridget, are you ready to read for us paragraph 2?
Yes. Every loving thought that the Son of God ever had is eternal. The loving thought his mind perceives in this world are the world's only reality.
Okay, stop there, just because it's so important for the discussions we've been having. Every loving thought the Son of God has ever had is eternal. The loving thoughts his mind perceives in this world, for those pets and those children and the parents and all those things that you love, those loving thoughts, they are the world's only reality, and you do get to keep those forever because they're loving and they are eternal. That's the good news. Just want to highlight that. Please continue.
Thank you. They are still perceptions because he still believes that he is separate. Yet they are eternal because they are loving. And being loving, they are like the Father and therefore cannot die. The real world can actually be perceived. All that is necessary is a willingness to perceive nothing else. For if you perceive both good and evil, you are accepting both the false and the true and making no distinction between them.
Can you feel the headache coming on with that last sentence? For if you perceive both good and evil, if you perceive both, perceive means you see it and you judge it and you think it real, you think it exists. If you perceive both good and evil, you're accepting both the false and the true, making no distinction between them, and that sounds like a pretty chaotic way to exist to me. Welcome to the world. Welcome to trying. Welcome to seeking and not finding. Emily.
So my incorrect perception of forgiveness in the past, the way I used to look at it, is kind of linked to this because I was seeing both, like the sin and also like the separation, like there's somebody doing something wrong or I'm doing something wrong and I need to be forgiven or they need to be forgiven. But this is saying, no, that's not really, there isn't both.
Wow. It's so exciting to see this awakening in you. This is wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. Beautiful. Yes, that is the mind is healing, Emily, right then and there. Can you feel the weight coming off? I mean, all the difficulty of having to judge somebody for something harmful and then somehow letting it go, even though it was harmful, That's chaotic. That's difficult. In fact, it's lying. Of Course in Miracles says that you can't forgive something that you think is true. Of course, because that would be a lie. If you think it's true, you should keep it. If it's true, you must keep it. But if it's false, you can let it go and go on with reality. So good on you, Emily. Excellent, excellent. Okay, please continue. I have to tell you who to read next. So that's going to be Carol. You ready for us? Read for us paragraph 3.
The ego may see some good, but never only good. That is why its perceptions are so variable. It does not reject goodness entirely, for that you could not accept. But it always adds something that is not real to the real, thus confusing illusion and reality. Perception cannot be partly true. If you believe in truth and illusion, you cannot tell which is true. To establish your personal autonomy, you tried to create unlike your father, believing that what you made is capable of being unlike him. Yet everything true is like him. Perceiving only the real world will lead you to the real heaven, because it will make you capable of understanding it.
Yeah, it's like learning to speak the language. If you go to a foreign country, you may as well just not hear anything. But when you start to pick up the language, you put the pieces together, or same with doing math, you start to learn these things. They, little by little, they begin to make sense. And before you know it, you can communicate. You can do the math yourself. And nobody can ever take it away from you. This is what a spiritual awakening is like. At first, it seems impossible because the pains keep coming, time keeps ticking, opportunities are lost, people lie, all sorts of these things that happen that aren't loving. But that's in the world of the ego only. As you begin to awaken to your true self, you begin to see beyond things, beyond time, beyond bodies, beyond life and death, beyond all the things that make up this separate, limited world. Begin to see beyond them as part of a spiritual awakening. But it's the only way you can have peace and freedom and the return of joy. It's the only way. So that's why we're studying this particular section.
It seems to me like that's what I heard Emily saying. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true, that that's what she was saying?
Yes. Yes, right. She's allowed the beyond. She's allowing herself to let go of the ego's judgment, the ego's reality. All right. Now I think we're to Carol. Cecilia, can you read for us paragraph 4?
I'm right here. Okay. The perception of goodness is not knowledge, but the denial of the opposite of goodness enables you to recognize a condition in which opposites do not exist. And this is the condition of knowledge. Without this awareness, you have not met its conditions. And until you do, you will not know it is yours already. You have many, many ideas that you have placed between yourself and your Creator. And these beliefs are the world as you perceive it. Truth is not absent here, but it is obscure. You do not know the difference between what you have made and what God created. And so you do not know the difference between what you have made and what you have created. To believe that you can perceive the real world is to believe that you can know yourself. You can know God because it is His will to be known. The real world is all that the Holy Spirit has saved for you out of what you have made. And to perceive only this is salvation. And to perceive only this is salvation. Because it is a recognition that reality is only what is true.
Beautiful.
A lot there.
Well, yeah, we're going to go over this paragraph a little bit. We have to unpack some of this. Thank you, Cecilia.
Thanks.
Okay, first thing is the first paragraph. I mean, first a sentence on paragraph 4. So get the metaphysics here. The perception of goodness, is not knowledge. But the denial of the opposite of goodness enables you to recognize a condition in which opposites do not exist. Let's go over this a couple times here. First of all, the perception of goodness is not knowledge. Of course, that's because you're still using the filter of perception. Anytime you see perception, you're using this judgment filter. It gets better and better as you spiritually awaken. Instead of using only the ego to perceive, you can start using your Holy Spirit to perceive. Instead of, now I'm being redundant, instead of using your wrong mind to perceive, you start to use your right mind to perceive. But make no mistake, you're still perceiving. This is why the spiritual journey can seem long and tiring, because you'll make some progress and then you'll seem to have lost it. And it's because the correction has not occurred. The miracle did not occur. You did do some right-minded seeing. You had some good perspectives. And maybe they felt good. Maybe they made you feel loved or loving. But then somehow they're not absent at another day. You wonder, what happened? Why isn't it permanent? Why didn't this love take over my whole life? And what's missing is the miracle. The miracle is a very personal shift in perception that occurs for you. Your truth shifts. So while you're perceiving happiness, it's not something you will necessarily keep. It is not knowledge. Yes, it's pleasant. Yes, it's the right direction. Yes, it's motivating. All that's good. But recognize, though, that it's a step upward, but it's not a step out. But check out the rest of the sentence. Comma, and then the word but is so appropriately used here. As we said before, it's so true with the ego and everything else. When you hear the word but, here comes the real scoop. You can forget everything I just said, because all I'm about to say is my real message and what I want you to know. So Jesus has put a little sugar for you with the word happiness in the beginning of the sentence. Goodness is, you know, just to get you moving in the right direction. But here comes the real message. Here comes the real work. Here comes what actually matters. Ready? The denial of the opposite of goodness enables you to recognize a condition which opposites do not exist. So it's a contrapositive, I guess you would say. But all we're saying is that you have to let go of something you thought was real, the opposite of goodness. You really believed that there was something bad about what happened. Dare I say evil. You really believe that that SOB in your life did something that's unforgivable and therefore evil and therefore not good.
But is this saying that the perception of goodness is not knowledge. Is that saying that what you think is goodness? It's yes. An abstraction. You have an abstraction in your mind.
Bingo. Thank you. Well said. Yes. Very good. You have a reflection. You have an abstraction, reflection. You have a desire even. But the perception of it means that it is not, you're not using one-mindedness. That, by the way, is the third step. There's only three. There's only three different possible experiences that you can have, and only one of them is true. The first one is wrong-mindedness. The next one is right-mindedness, which is perception of happiness, the perception of goodness. It's not knowledge, but it's definitely moving toward light and giving up or forgiving the opposite of goodness. See, at that direction. And then finally, as you fully awaken, you go into one-mindedness, which is a complete game changer. You actually wake up and see, you look back on the battleground. You look back on time and space as being the same. Things like covered in chapter one is just crazy talk. It's really beyond what A Course in Miracles intends to teach. But not needed to be taught, because it's the truth. And when you undo what's blocking you from that, the truth returns to your mind automatically because it's true. So nothing you need to worry about or even study. Yeah. Okay. So that's a huge sentence. And okay, there you go. And so sentence two, and this is the condition of knowledge, the denial of what is not true is the condition of allowing what is true. It's good math. And then he gives you some fine print. He kind of says, hey, look, if you don't do your lessons, as I like to say, this occurred to me once, and it was, you know, all around early days, early first couple of years of doing Course in Miracles, and looking at all these lessons and the requirements of the lesson, do it each hour, do it a half an hour, do it 10 times an hour, one of the lessons set. That's every 6 minutes. Are you serious? In that battle that I was having many of those years ago, I realized that if I'm not practicing A Course in Miracles, if I'm not practicing listening to the Holy Spirit during that time that I skip a lesson, I am practicing my ego. And whatever you practice, you will become good at. And so either you practice waking up or you will practice going to sleep. There is no neutral. So it was motivating for me, but it sure put things in perspective for me. So a little fine print there sentence three, paragraph four. Without this awareness, record scratch. Without this awareness, you've not met truth's conditions, the condition of knowledge. And until you do, he says it again. Until you do, you will not know that knowledge is yours already. So it's up to you.
Yeah, Andrew, it seems like this is talking like when you're meditating and you still your mind for a second.
Uh-huh.
And then when you really still your mind, then there's like a vacuum.
Yes.
And something can come in.
Something can happen.
Yeah.
It's truly, Mark, this book is an undoing, not a doing. This path is an undoing, just like that. Truly. And then the truth rushes in. The more quiet your mind, the more aware the truth comes in. Yeah, beautiful. Well, you know, so there's some fine print right there. And it says it several times throughout the book. This is all fine, but you have to actually choose to stop dreaming. there is, you are an extension of God in truth, and you've decided to dream. There is nothing else to stop you. You've chosen to do this. And so, this is calling you to awaken by your own choice. Calling you. There, nothing will save you. You can dream this being in body, time, and space over and over and over again as many times as you desire. A lot of us have come to Course in Miracles because I would like to see an end to all of this so I can take a rest or some awareness or some awakenedness. So that's what Jesus is. Jesus is the part of your mind that really went all the way. That's what Jesus is. A part of your mind. The part of your mind. The one mind. That went all the way to associate with awakening. With the awakened mind. Instead of continuing to sleep. That's what that is. And of course it's done. You are the investment in redreaming. You can do it for as long as you like. But I think you've chosen to wake up and come back to joy and love. And so indeed, the door is open now. So there's more in this crazy paragraph, and we do have time to see it. Great. Now.
You know, Andrew?
Yes.
I was just thinking, for brevity's sake, you could say that waking up is a verb.
Is a verb?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, it's a taking an action. It's,
yeah.
Being passive and letting the ego just run you around.
It's, well,
really action, taking an
action. That's great, Jason. That's really great because the ego is a verb.
Oh, that's true too.
You actually, when you think the ego, you get the ego. But you have to do it, and then you get it.
Right.
It's a really important principle you brought up.
A couple layers of verbs. Thank you.
Well, you know, but it, since you brought it up, it's also great meditation to understand. It helps you understand what life actually is. It's a little, what Jason just brought up here, is a little invitation to what life actually is. Life itself is movement. It is a verb. It's not that it requires a body and physical expression, but it's a movement of spirit. It's a dance that occurs between what Course calls light and spirit. And then we get to call it life. So it's a verb, and it's a movement that emanates from the creative mind. And it is that for which you were extended from God. That is your job in truth. And you've been using this time and space and body dream as a way to experiment with your power. It's all the same power. And it's magnificently powerful. And you're just witnessing to your power. And as you start to move away from the endarkenment aspect of the world, you can start to see what sentence 5 says in this paragraph. It says, truth is not absent here, but it is obscure. It's part of how you got emotions to play in your life. It's part of how you got the world to have so much flavor to capture your attention.
Yes,
is that you obscured the truth of wholeness and of love and of oneness. You've been experimenting with the idea of separation and what we would call the dream world as opposed to the real world. You've obscured truth. And you've done a very good job. It's not a sin. It's not irreversible. As Jason was pointing out, it's a verb. And the minute you stop dreaming a dream, it's over. However, right now, you represent a part of the mind that is willfully staying invested in the dream of time and space and body. But part of you sees a little bit of light. A little bit of light that doesn't seem to be affected by all the darkness. Thank you, Mark. That never goes away, by the way. It never goes away. As your awakening starts to happen, that part of you that has a lightness of being, that little light that Mark described, it never goes away. Because what's happening is, it's very much like you've got a dirty window. It's really dirty. It's so dirty you can't see anything out of it. And you walk up to the window, and you just clean the window a little bit. But when you step back, it's really obvious what you just did. The little bit that you cleaned, now light comes through it. If you get really close to the little bit that you cleaned, you can actually see through this obscurity to the outside, the beautiful open blue sky and outdoors that's on the other side of the window. As you back away from the work that you just did, like, for example, A Course in Miracles lesson or the discipline that Emily is learning around forgiveness and the power of her own mind. And if you step back away from this window that you just did, just a little spot was cleaned. Now you can look at the darkness and see the dirty window and you can give up. However, the part that you cleaned remains clean. And if you were to go back to your Course in Miracles lessons, get back to your discipline, get back to your meditation, you can walk right back up to that little part that you cleaned, and the light is still there. In fact, that most peaceful and wonderful experience you had of looking through the hole instantly returns, and you don't have to redo the work. But you do have to get yourself, like what we're doing with the Course in Miracles, we've made a place in this world where we can call upon that peaceful part of our mind. This is what it's like. This is what the work is like. And this is why you have a particular job in your own personal awakening. Because you have personally made this obscure window. Of course, calls it a veil. It's also called a bank of clouds. It really doesn't have the power to stop you. But you believe it does. By doing the workbook lessons, you get the help of the part of your mind that has awoken. We call it Jesus. You get help from Jesus to bring you back to the part of your mind that is clear. That's what we're doing. That, my friends, is how you see, with your eyes even, the real world versus the obscurity that, you know, things like death. If it goes unchecked, your ego will just drive you into this darkness, which wasn't there before the death, and it won't be there after the death. In fact, it's not even there now, but that you think about it. Then that brings it present, and it seems to have witnesses, and your gut goes tight, and your eyes cry, and you feel darkness, all because of the power of your mind. That same power will be used to free you.
Andrew?
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm starting to suspect. I mean, part of me, I guess probably my ego, thinks that this is all like additive. The more I practice it, the higher I get up in the lessons, the easier it's going to get, the better I'll be. And I'm starting to think that it doesn't work that way.
Okay, it's half true?
Half true.
Yeah. The way it works, as I understand it, Mark, is half true, because the part that's true that it's additive is that your life will suck less as you catch your ego more. it'll still suck. There will still be times when the ego gets its hands around your neck and makes you doubt yourself or the world or life or the reason for living or the reason for somebody else's life across the street. They shouldn't be, whatever. So those kind of things will happen less and less and less as you accumulate and you catch your ego at its tricks, at its ways of taking your peace one by one. Each one means you will suffer less. But as long as one remains, you will still suffer. In fact, as long as one part, any part of this world remains true, you can still suffer entirely. So so it's half true, because you can make your life here a lot better, and it's worth it. It's worth it. Now, here's the part where it isn't true. Here's the part I think you're hinting at, that you know. Either the truth is or it isn't, and there's no in between. It's binary. Light or dark. It's binary. Awakeness is binary. You aren't really half asleep. You know, that doesn't really happen. So these are kind of hard. These are hard words to even speak, or maybe perhaps to understand. But we're right in the zone here, so here it is. Your awakening does not take time. The transition of your awakening will not be experienced in time or as an event. It is a phase change, like when water goes from liquid to ice. You can't really pick the moment when it happens. The world does not disappear to you in your awakening like the moving of a veil. It disappears as unreality instantaneously, and there's no as you said, gradually. There aren't actually increments. When you actually honestly choose to awake, it will be as though you never slept. Because that's the truth. So, like I say, it's half true. Make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's, you know, like there's some days where it's like I'm doing a lesson and it's like, oh my God, why am I doing this? And then other days where, you know, I feel like I'm just like lit up. And part of me feels like there's going to be some day where I graduate. Like there's going to be some moment that's going to arrive. But I don't know. I mean, you know, other days I have this feeling where, you know, I've had moments where it kind of all drops away, like just kind of like, you know, like I feel like I came down to earth suddenly.
Julie, you got something on that?
Well, it just reminded me of the question I asked you very early on, like a few months into my study, that, you know, like you've been doing this for 20 years, is it worth it? And I also remember like a time where I was thinking like, how the heck am I ever going to get through 365 lessons? Like I couldn't imagine getting through without stopping. Like actually, you know, I just assumed that I would give up at some point. But it's hilarious now, because that concept of needing to arrive somewhere, just like, it just like disappeared. Like it's not even an issue. I will live this course. Every moment that I can live this course, The course itself doesn't matter. Like it's, those are also just words on a piece of paper, but it's like, I can, be
I can learn to be rather than to think or do. And so there's not, you don't arrive. There's no actual goal. Like you, well, there's a goal, but it's not like something out there. So the phrase journey without distance comes from the course, I believe.
It does.
Yeah. That took me a long time. Like it didn't, actually it didn't take me a long time, but I had a perception of needing to arrive somewhere and wondered how long it would take me and why I wasn't there yet. But at some point, those thoughts just went away because it was not, that was no longer a value.
Because it turns out that even in this sleeping state, you're still spirit. Even in a sleeping state, you're still spirit. So why delay acknowledging spirit even as you sleep? And now that urgency is gone. Yeah. You know, another way to say this, I forget who said this, but it's not in A Course in Miracles, but I like it. And it's this, it says, spiritual awakening, your spiritual awakening is like falling in a hole. It's like an accident. It just suddenly happens. It's done. And studying spirituality, studying Course in Miracles, makes you accident prone. So you'll have that accident. it defines it as good as anything for me.
The only other thing I would add is, Mark, those experiences where everything drops away, etc., it's like for me, those experiences or one kind of that comes to mind right now is what I was alluding to earlier at the start of the meeting, that like I know joy is always there because I've had these moments of just sudden dawning of the mind that like I just overwhelming joy and it comes out of nowhere and I realize it's always there and I'm blocking it. And so these moments, like whatever they look like or feel like for you, Mark, it's like that is the truth. And it's just letting that settle as letting that settle into your being as the truth, because there isn't a need to go anywhere to get there. Like, I can't. I guess that's all I can say. Well, I can't describe the process.
Julie, you're right on, though, because as you were saying earlier, the whole concept that you would go somewhere to get there makes this place a real place. So it makes the journey longer. Because now you think you'd have to actually go away from wherever here is to be there. You're back in the idea of separation. It will make the journey longer. The awakening really is an instantaneous effect, and you can have spiritual awareness. Just like it says, truth is here, but it's obscured.
Gertrude Stein said, there's no there there.
Yeah. Do we have any time left? No. Okay. I just want us to read one more sentence from the next section before we close the night.
Okay.
Because it's so great, and I don't know when we're ever going to be back here, but you have to see this sentence. So let's see. I think Isadora is up. So Isadora, would you read for us? Well, go for it and just read on page 211, this very next thing. Read for us that paragraph 1 of section 8, the problem and the answer. It's wonderful.
Read the whole paragraph or yeah. How much?
Yeah, did you already read?
No, I didn't.
Okay, please read for us the whole paragraph.
Okay.
Wonderful.
This is a very simple course. Perhaps you do not feel you need a course which, in the end, teaches that only reality is true. But do you believe it? When you perceive the real world, you will recognize that you did not believe it. Yet the swiftness with which your new and only real perception will be translated into knowledge will leave you but an instant to realize that this alone is true. and then everything you made will be forgotten, the good and the bad, the false and the true. For as heaven and earth become one, even the real world will vanish from your sight. The end of the world is not its destruction, but its transition into heaven. The reinterpretation of the world is the transfer of all perception to knowledge.
Ah, there it is! Perfect summary of what we've been studying for the last 3 weeks. So with that, I call the meeting to a close for a week. Thank you, everybody. So good to see your faces and to study, to get a chance to go so deep with this amazing topic of the real world versus the false world and how much it's brought out our individual experiences of trying to handle witnessing the world and then choosing to listen to the Holy Spirit, and you actually witness your spirit, not this poor suffering thing in the world. What a great contrast, but that's your teaching. That is the ground on which your awareness will come. Therein opens a door of light in your willingness to see the other side of the coin, and that's what we're doing with this. So thank you. Well done, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for your contributions.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.